Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Happy Thursday to you. You are indeed in loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Always a pleasure to crosstalk with Payne and Pendergast. But now we're off and running on a Thursday.
Cross streams with John Lopez, apparently.
somebody said
homeless, it's the unhoused. Isn't that the same thing?
No, not quite. Not quite, because then you were referring to him as an unhoused person. They retain their personhood.
Oh, okay.
Nobody cares about this in this moment. Nobody cares about any of my thoughts about anything outside of what we got going on with these Texans headed into the Steelers. Actually, I think that there's something interesting that's really and truly breaking in the world of sports. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you for joining us on this Thursday. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig on the ones and twos, as he often is. And you, rolling with us and joining us. As you usually do, and we appreciate that. Get involved with the program. That's one of the additional steps that we want you to take. No warranty necessary. 713-572-4610. Again, 713-572-4610 is the number to text. And we have appreciation for the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live streams. Both the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and the Twitch chat 610 Houston. But where you at, John Lopez, on the news that is going on? Actually, I was very in on feeling good about myself being right on the idea that the Miami Dolphins were going to retain Mike McDaniel. And then this morning they were like, psych!
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel out of there.
I thought they were going to keep him.
I knew they was going to fire him.
Really?
I bet
you did.
Back in week four.
Yeah. Well,
I've been saying
this
since week four. I'm right. I told y'all I was right.
Okay, so a lot of things happening here. First and foremost, would it have happened if Jim Harbaugh was not available?
I don't believe so. But the early reporting is Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, went through the process of, after the season, debriefing, sitting down with Mike McDaniel, took some time to ruminate, which is the part where I raise eyebrows, but then decided ultimately to part ways with Mike McDaniel. You could read that as him just having a less accelerated, process of evaluating his head coach. Unlike some other coaches that, like Atlanta, where the Blank family fired Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot the day the season ended.
Yeah.
Or you could look at this in the way that I think we both are, which is a big fish just hit the pond, and we kind of are interested in that, especially since we're not sold completely on Mike McDaniel.
Well, seven jobs open, and now an eighth. So basically a quarter of the NFL.
Not basically, that is a quarter. Yeah.
A quarter of the NFL is open. And of course, you know, like most people, you say, well, how does this affect me? And I think
Nick Cayley, watch your back, buddy.
Not Nick Cayley. Matt Burke. There's another. He's going to interview in a lot of places.
I hadn't gotten to that place, but that's a good one. And his name has not popped up yet. Now, obviously, I think there's a lot of coaches for whom are coordinators that have not necessarily gotten that shout yet. The likes of Chris Shula, Brian Flores, those guys actually not Flores. Flores is available,
they're in playoff mode though, could be a reason too.
Yeah. So yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying is that they've not been added to the pool of names that are floating around early. I hadn't considered the idea that that's another, I guess, opportunity for Matt Burke to possibly be taken away from
the
squad.
And he is going to be interviewed already reportedly several places. Tennessee, I believe, is one. Maybe another.
I got to pull up the tracker. Can I be honest?
It's head spinning.
I'm so bad at keeping these things straight.
Yeah.
When there is, they're talking about him and he has interviews on Thursday with this team and Friday with that team and then Sunday with this. I have a horrible time trying to keep those straight, so I appreciate that CBS Sports has an active tracker.
But even beyond that, this is where I'm going with it. And it would be good for them, but it definitely affects the Texans. 25% of the jobs are open, right? And Matt Burke is going to be interviewed. Just by doing the math, he's going to have a better chance now than he did an hour ago of being looked at for one of these jobs.
Sure.
Beyond that, why is this offense all of a sudden, why does it have a life all of a sudden? We keep going back to two guys, Ben McDaniels, Jerod Johnson. Those are offensive coordinators for many potential head coaching candidates. But if Matt Burke gets a job, Or you don't think he's going to look at those two dudes?
That maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
That is a great point, specifically the correlation that he has. I think also there's an argument to be made that with a lot of the defensive head coach possibilities, that is what it looks like. The more polished, the more interesting defensive or head coaching candidates seem to be on the defensive side. And when you do that, it is incumbent upon them to come side saddle with them with a offense coordinator that they believe in. And these guys have had some tentacles around the league, even if they are here in Houston right now.
Well, I mean, D'Amico Ryans did it. D'Amico Ryans was a defensive coordinator in San Francisco. Who does he bring immediately? I guess he was an offensive assistant. Was he a coordinator already? Anyway, no, I think he was an offensive assistant. He brings Bobby Slowick. Now, it didn't work out, but what I'm saying is Nick Caley here has been helped a lot by Ben McDaniels and Gerard Johnson. Now, again, I would be very happy that they get these jobs, but it does affect the Houston Texans.
Without question. Yeah. Without question. The possibility of being rated year over year is one of those things that you kind of need to bake into the cost of doing business when you are a good football team. And in a kind of fortunate way, early on, you've not had that. Had to succumb to that just yet. It looks like you might be on the doorstep of that, especially as you add another one to the pool. Of course, the place where I think a lot of people's minds have gone is just Mike McDaniel is a hot name if you're talking about the potential of being an offensive coordinator. And for him in particular, I don't think that he exists in the plane of Kevin Stefanski,
right,
where you get fired and I think you're immediately available to turn back around and get another job. I think that he would need the block to cool down on his name, spending a year out and maybe getting another opportunity. And maybe that's even outside of the realm because of his particular personality and the way that he presents. Maybe that's that hampers him from getting another job as a head coach. If he is willing, that is a very, very interesting offensive coordinator name. And of course, as I've said, somewhat in the context of a head coaching job search, there's not a lot of offensive guys out there. And so, I mean, we're seeing the likes of quarterbacks coaches getting head coaching looks because teams want to get a feel for what the offensive side of the football looks like for head coaching options. Doesn't that also cut into the offensive coordinator ranks possibilities? Not saying that you are definitively not going to have Nick Caley here, but God forbid and knock on wood, should something go wrong on Monday and you lose this game, especially with we're going to be talking about it. And I have no idea what that building operates like. There's been a lot of we all operate together, so to say. But there's been instances this season where D'Amico Ryans has at least kind of projected that things need to change on offense and how much of that is temporary and how much of that factors into an end of year evaluation where maybe he goes, what we have at the offense isn't good enough.
I think that's a possibility, but I think it's a more of a remote possibility than you do.
Okay.
And the reason is Nick Caserio, and for that matter, D'Amico Ryans, what Nick Caley brings to the table is exactly the format, the template, whatever you want to call it, that they like in terms of how they like to operate football. What I'm saying is I think Nick Caley's going to have some job security no matter what happens Monday night, but Nick Caley is going to be less equipped to help C.J. Stroud kind of embrace this offense and incorporate some passing schemes and concepts without either or both of Ben McDaniels and Gerard Johnson. Those two guys have been huge. So I think they're going to stay with Nick Caley. My big worry is one or both of those guys goes, and again, you know I'd be very happy about it, but as a Texans fan, if one of those two guys or both of those guys goes, Nick Caley all of a sudden might have to take, he might take a step back in turn because his concepts and the amount he knows about the passing game has been bolstered by them.
Certainly. Yeah. And that's what a staff is there for in any circumstance. I think that would it be fair to say that the fan tendency to go, oh, Mike McDaniel or another hot name out there offensive coordinator wise isn't where I should be and we're ahead of our skis. We got playoff football to worry about. And I recognize that in the rest of the show, we're going to be talking a lot about that. But if you get to that point at the end of the season where the hypothetical we've set up is there, yeah, where maybe Matt Burke gets a job and that eats into your offensive staff because one of those guys that's been helpful goes, is it maybe more important to look at who does Nick Caley look to add onto his staff? One of these, you know, a position coach somewhere that has upside.
Yeah.
Maybe not even specifically someone like a Yudinski.
Or maybe from within.
Maybe even from within. Maybe that's a hire from within. But the reason why I'm thinking outside is someone that comes in and brings a fresh set of ideas, because that collaborative effort seems to have very much helped him over the course of the season.
Absolutely. I think that's a possibility. When it comes to Mike McDaniel, though, he has a relationship with D'Amico Ryan.
He does. He's part of that whole Shanahan.
He's coached here.
Yeah.
he knows.
Again, with all of the principals in that Shanahan McVay kind of triangle. Triangle is not even
He has
right.
that Kubiak connection, which that name, you know, carries some weight in this town. He knows the McNairs. All that said, I don't think he fits Caserio and D'Amico in terms of their approach. Now, if he wants to come in and take a step back, not just as a coordinator, but as maybe a quarterback's coach, I don't think that's going to happen.
That ain't happening.
That ain't going to happen. Then maybe, but no, it's going to be someone else that can maybe bolster that the passing game.
So. And I mean, one of the things that we have jumped over in the hypothetical we've set up, and we're doing all of this because, you know, the breaking news of this morning is that Mike McDaniel has actually, the Dolphins have moved on from him as head coach. So they become the eighth team with a head coaching opening in this particular cycle as of yet. One of the things that we haven't talked about is if you do end up in this hypothetical where you're either dealing with looking for a new OC. Well, actually, let's go with the possibility that you look for a new OC. I don't believe that'll happen, honestly. I think there's a small percentage chance of that. How much would you want to end up in a place, or even making the decision on whether you want a new OC? The idea of going to a third offensive coordinator in 4 years. The idea of also not just doing that, but going to another or going back to the system, flip-flopping to another system that is very different, that you probably need to gear your offensive line towards again. Like, there's a lot of different considerations outside of just who is calling those plays and how effective they are.
Yeah, that's a big thing for what are you doing to your quarterback, man? You know, that's the number one thing. New terminology, new offensive linemen, to be honest. You know, offensive line that would maybe fit a different scheme.
Right.
You know, you're not just changing coordinator, you're changing personnel.
Without question.
You know, so that's why I don't see it happening, but even just changing to a third offensive coordinator that kind of fits this personnel is still a problem. It's still new terminology. It's still, you know, some issues for C.J. Stroud. It's still kind of holding back C.J. Stroud's strengths as a quarterback.
Yeah, and I see you, many of you on the text line with all sorts of different opinions that I appreciate you guys sending in. A32 says, we have an opportunity to be great and are stuck on mid. That's what I'm afraid of. Unlock Stroud. And that's those are the balancing acts. Those are all the considerations
I've been
that you
thinking
have to
about
make.
That since the beginning.
Yeah. Without question. It's one of the frustrations that happens when you make that offensive hire.
Unlock Stroud. I like that term.
And that's kind of and this is the part I hate, because you want to win. That's the ultimate goal. But sometimes the winning can cover up the real issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they win, of course they're not going to fire the OC.
Hell, does that not feel like what they feel like they're dealing with across the way in Pittsburgh? The idea that the continual winning that Mike Tomlin will do, not being able to have a sub-500 season, has been a little bit of a deodorizer for the stink of not being able to really have effective winning.
Yeah.
Things that really lead you to championship.
And that's why a lot of people might give people like the Ravens a hard time for letting go of their coach. But it's like, man, we want to be better than just getting to the playoffs and getting knocked out.
Yeah.
We want to be better than this.
It's the mediocrity treadmill, right, that you want to avoid.
It's
in
the
sports.
Cincinnati. It's the who was the coach that was at Cincinnati? Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
The whole just – stand there and
hell, it's Mike Tomlin.
Get into the
What do they call him now? And we'll hear about it. Mediocre Mike.
That is what they would call him.
I mean, and I think he could kind of hold on to I won a Super Bowl or got to a Super Bowl, but you don't want to be Marvin Lewis, where you just, you know, always win a division and get bounced out in the first round.
Yeah. Marvin Lewis is a fun one, because I am way higher on Marvin Lewis than I think the average person is. No time for that right now.
Yeah, I know it's the Cincinnati Bengals, but man.
That is big. And I think you guys know I have quite a disdain for the way that they operate. But that's neither here nor there. We're just getting going here on a Thursday on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, actually speaking of Mike Tomlin, Mike Tomlin was speaking. And did he kind of give away a little bit of what could be the game plan come Monday? Let's talk about that next.